Amen. That amazing grace that the same yesterday and today and it will be as long as the world stands and the world to come. May that grace be amazing in our life. And as the amazing grace, can we say it's amazing when it brings us through trials and temptations? And if we could see God's heart in it when we're through these times, why we would, I believe we'd still call it amazing grace, because God is there in it. And it's what I'd like to talk about today. The few thoughts I have here. I gave it a title of God's Plan for the Trial in My Life. And I will say this could be, we could come at this from another angle. There's different angles we could look at this, but for the sake of time, I'm going to just look at a few things here. But biggest thing I'd like to talk about is when we're in the midst of a trial. And there may be some in here that are in the midst of a trial today. There may be some that have came out of a real trial. But one thing we can be sure of is if we're not in one today, we will face them in the days to come. We are in a fallen world. We're in a place where we are a fallen creature, and we are still have this flesh to deal with, and God has ways to work in us and through us and to shake these things from us. I'd like to talk about times when we're in a desert place, or maybe a time of severe trial. Maybe not even a severe trial. Maybe it's just a trial that, maybe it's not directly related even to us. Maybe it's something that we're close to and know of and just carry a heavy burden for it, and maybe we're slightly involved, whatever it may be in our life, but just one of those times when it seems like time when we're not hearing from God, God's not doing anything, God, a time when things seem like they can't get worse than what they are, a time when you can't see a light at the end of the tunnel, a time when a young person feels like you're in the middle of a jungle and no idea which way to turn. These things are real, and they can be real spiritual deserts in our life. And it's at these times when people give up. And when I say give up, I'm not referring to confessing that you're done with God, but a time when we quit fighting, a time when we drop our guards, or just simply give in to the way that the easy way out, the road that seems easier. You know, this sometimes things can seem so hard, and the narrow way, and yet because of the heavy load, sometimes we make exceptions. We give in to the easier way. So if we're honest with ourselves, we've probably all been at a place where we face these desert times and wonder, what does God have in all this? And one of the things that I think of in these times is our faith, what we have, our faith in God and our faith in who God is, versus our feelings or our experiences at those times. It is so important that we remember that God is still who He is, even when our feelings don't line up. And we hear this often, and we just need to remember we are of a fallen nature. Things will happen in our lives that will bring pain and hopelessness, discouragement. But in all this, it doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change His magnificent love that He has for us. It doesn't change how He views mankind. It doesn't change it doesn't bring any regret to Him of who we are. But God is still the same, even in those times of our circumstances. But what I'd like to focus on is these things can come upon us and be there for our good. These things, I believe that there's, and this is where we could have different situations, so I speak carefully, but these things can come upon us and in a way that God is working in us and then there for our good. And God never intended these times for us to question who He is, but God wants us to see what does He want from us. So four things I'd like for us to consider when we're in this desert time, in a way that we don't need to have an answer. From one aspect, we don't need to have an answer in everything God does in our lives. There'll be many things that we don't understand, but I believe that it's important for us to examine to see what purpose God has at a time that we're in a desert, a time that we're up against, or a time that things seem like they're pressing down upon us. Because one thing we can be sure of is that God doesn't let it happen for no reason. So these things come our way, but there's a reason. God is a God of love, and He couldn't possibly let us, in the midst of these struggles, in the midst of these trials, whatever we may be facing, God doesn't let us in the midst of that without a purpose. And I say that with confidence, because God is, we as people in the flesh, we have people that we love. We have children, our wives, our husbands, and that's the last thing we'd ever want to do is put something in their lives that just causes misery. So we see just a small glimpse of us in our fleshly places that we are. Couldn't do such a thing. So we know. So it's important that we know that God has these things in our lives for a reason, whatever we're facing. And the first point is our desert time coming from God using us in a way like we see in Joseph's life? Is God using us for a bigger plan than what we can see at the time? If we only can see from one moment at a time or one day at a time, is there a bigger picture? So just a little bit on Joseph's life. If we think about him, you would think his life as a slave was as bad as it got, but then he went to prison. And then the terrible predicament he was in when he ended up in prison for something he didn't do. So if we compare our time that we're in, whatever it may be, however big or however small, if we compare it with Joseph's situation, I was just reflecting back on some of my times, but there's just nothing that even comes close if you look at what Joseph went through. And he was a person just as you and I. And I believe these things are written for our benefit. He was a person full of a lot of potential in life and future hopes, and suddenly ends up in this terrible, hopeless situation. I'm guessing he probably thought when he went to prison, he probably thought that he was going to die there. We read the whole story. So we see the end there and see how it all ended up good. But there had to be a time there in his life when he went to prison, when he probably felt like that's where he was gonna die. And from there it could have been a life of pity, anger, questioning God. He could have seen his situation as hopeless can be. If we put ourselves in those shoes, we just don't see any way out, that he was gonna have any way out. But I'd like to see what do we see in his life that made him prosper in that desert time. First, we see him serving his father and looking after his brothers, and then we see him serving in Pharaoh's house, and then it appears Joseph went right to work serving in prison. I'm guessing he did the best he could in the small things that he could do in prison, and God made it prosper to the point to where he was in charge of the whole prison there. That's what Joseph's life consisted of, was his servanthood. So we see that as he was in these terrible predicaments. And so if we find ourselves in a desert situation, let's find ways to serve, because we see that worked. Especially if our situation concerns people, conflicts in our lives. Let's find ways to serve where we can. But one thing we know is we'll never get out of that time of our life, that trial or whatever we're going through. We'll never get out of that by sitting back and having pity upon ourselves and focusing on our hurts and how we were wronged. And we don't see any of this coming out of Joseph's life, because I believe we all know that what this would have worked in his life, it would have been a life of bitterness, and it would have just been a complete a different outcome. So it's important that we don't let this thing creep in on us at a time when we're going through a trial. But in all this, we see why God had all this happen to Joseph. Then in Genesis 45:5, he tells his brothers, "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me, for God did send me before you to preserve life." And as I was considering these thoughts, that just amazed me of God and how the big picture that He has in all these situations that we can find ourselves in. How can we believe that He has all of our hairs numbered in our head, and He has all the stars counted, and He calls them all by name, and yet at times it seems like He don't understand, or we can't, that we feel like He's doing something wrong here, that if we're in a situation in our life. Looking at Joseph's life there, and then the view Joseph had there, is I believe that is just a really important thing, that we have that we know that God has the bigger picture of where we're at in our lives. So is God using us, or are we in is God using us? Is that why we're in a trial? For the sake of the bigger plan He has, you know, I thought that's one reason we can be in trials or desert time in our life when things seem gloomy and what is God doing? The second thing I'd like to look at is our desert time because of the law of reaping and sowing. Are we in this temptation or this trial because of the sowing and reaping? And 1 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 9:11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? And 2 Corinthians 9:6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." And then Galatians 6, 7 and 8, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reach corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And I must say, this is probably, when I find myself in a trial or temptation or a big thing coming in my life, circumstances, this is probably one of the one that I struggle finding my way through at times, because if we feel ourselves in a bad situation, is it due to some sowing to the flesh that we have done and we're reaping the fruit of it? Galatians there tells us that God is not mocked. If we sow, we shall reap what we sowed. And I do believe there's things that we sowed in our life before being born again that God completely erases. But I also think that there are some things that we reap possibly, maybe the rest of our lives. And if we find some of those fruits that can't be changed. But in this, it should still draw our hearts closer to God, because it should constantly remind us of God's sovereignty, and in His sowing and reaping, there is So there's these times when probably I have for my own personal self, I have times that I try to examine my life and see, you know, did I do some reaping of the flesh that I'm just, or some sowing that I'm reaping something that I sowed. So I believe it's good if we can examine ourselves and find areas in our life that God may be touched in that way. But that's not saying that that's always what it is, and maybe hardly ever. But just another aspect of, if we find ourselves in this place, are we reaping something that we sowed? So the third point is our desert time a time of chastisement from God, or even scourging? And I appreciated Luke touched on this last Sunday. Hebrews 12 there. I'll just read those verses again, starting in 5. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all the partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasteneth us after their own pleasure, but for our profits, that we might be partakers. But he, for our profits, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Speaking of God. "Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And there's probably, I don't begin to try to understand all that chastisement from God and when that's always happening, but I used to read that and wonder, why is this not happening, or where is this? I don't think it gives much room that it won't happen to us. There's chastisement of God that we will face if we are going to be His children, and to what degrees and what that all looks like, I'm not here to say that I understand all that. But I've just as I've meditated on that the last couple years of my life, why I think I find myself in places where I have felt that. There's been some painful ones, but I realize that it's so easy for me to go my own way and need to get adjusted, get for God to get me adjusted to the right track again. Those can be very painful times, and those can seem like times of what is going on here? Where's God's love at? Why is He letting these things come in my life? I believe we can know why some of these chastisements are given to us if we do an honest evaluation of ourselves. Too often God is trying different ways to chastise us, because someone else is always to be blamed, it doesn't change our way, and God has to do it again. It's a comfort, though, to know it comes because He loves us, and in the end, He does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. So, if we find ourselves in places to where God has something in our life, why, let's examine ourselves and make sure it's not and see if it's a chastisement from God, and not be so quick to just the fingers are always pointing of this situation is why I'm at here, or that situation caused me to be where I'm at here. But it may very well have been, but in this, why God may have seen an area in our lives that He's specifically working on. So, and God could have stopped that in ways and brought it in different ways. So I'm just saying that let's just take a good look and evaluate ourselves at these times and see, just to be open to what God is showing us. And so often it's used in from other people, and it can even be brothers and sisters, and it says we don't, I don't know if I can get it right, but we don't war against flesh and blood. We don't war against our brother and our sister, but we're warring against spiritual powers in high places, maybe something like that. So it's not those things that are causing our times of getting into a desert. It's the spiritual things in the high places, those evil spirits that do that. If we find ourselves in a desert place, let's see if God is chastening us. I don't claim to have this chastisement figured out all, but I know that the Word tells us that He will chastise those whom He loves. My prayer often is that I would be sensitive enough to His direction that I can obey when the gentle chastisements come versus needing a hard one. And maybe that's a selfish prayer, but I pray that God could, that my heart could be soft, and that God wouldn't need to be hard circumstances, because those are always painful. But God knows what I need, and God knows exactly what you need, and we're all different in this way. But either way, let's remember that God will chastise us and even scourge us if we are His children. So the fourth point is our desert times, that coming from God refining us. And I don't know what this is an accurate statement, but I feel like, just as I examine my own life, I wonder if it's not more times that God is just trying to work things out of us. Maybe it's not because we did something wrong. Maybe it's not because we sowed something that we're reaping of, and maybe it's not because of that God has this much bigger picture and He's using us like He did Joseph. But I wonder if it's not too often that God is just working the dross out of us, working, refining us. So I wonder if it isn't God's will more often than what we recognize. God can let these things happen or circumstances come simply to refine us. And again, it is just the tender love of God that is doing that. He's trying His best. He's trying His the way that is so perfect is the way that He's going about to do that in us. We can wonder, why does it take pain and why does it take hard circumstances to get ourselves into for that refining to happen? But if we consider being shaped and molded like clay in the hand of the potter, there will be hard points to smooth out in our lives. Then there's the fire to go through to be refined. And 1 Peter 1:3-7, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." There we have that, to be in that heaviness through or I was referring it to as the desert times, the times when it's hard to see an end, or how's this thing ever going to get turned around. But it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And in Zechariah 13:9 says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call upon my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." And it takes a fire. It takes pain. It takes hurts and to for these things to come to pass. Psalm 66, 10 through 12. For Thou, O God, hath proved us, Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou brought us unto the net. Thou brought us into the net. Thou laid affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But then blessed be the name. But Thou brought us out into a wealthy place. And that's what God's intent is in these times. Malachi 3, 2 and 3. But who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So when I read these things, it doesn't make me wonder if we'll go through fire, but when we go through it, or at least if we want to be refined. Is this the desert we're in? I want to put emphasis on the point because of the importance of it in our lives, no matter the pain it creates. But if we're satisfied where we're at with God, we may just stay where we're at. But if we want the deeper work of God in our lives, and let's recognize when He is trying to work. I think too often we want this and even pray for it, but then when the fire comes, we say, but God, or poor me, or why did that brother or sister say that? When it can be God refining us through the fire. We need to remember it's fire, that gold that is purified, as the examples He uses. And so it's not easy things. And that brings me to the last couple verses here in Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, which is also can be rejoice in sufferings. Knowing that tribulations work with patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, which is various trials, knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And these are hard things to do, but if we're in a desert place because God is refining us, I believe for this to work, we need to get past the first instructions that we have in both of them scriptures. We need to be able to glory in our tribulations, as well as to count it all joy when we fall into various trials. We will completely stall out of that time if we can't make it past those. I believe God will still help us through them, but it won't be the perfect work God wanted, so He'll later bring it in another form at a different time. I can't think of it. When we think of our posture of heart when we're in the midst of these trials and these big things in our life, or little things, or things that just... the things that want to slow us down or hinder us, but I can't think of a better thing that it takes to let God do these, other than just a complete surrender. And we often talk about, you know, our surrender hearts. We want to surrender ourselves to God, but it's probably the most successful way of coming to a place where God can do these things in our lives, if we can find ourselves as a surrendered person, a feeling of, okay, God, I'm done against kicking against the refining You're trying to do in my life. I'm okay with what You bring. I'm here for a reason. There's something that You're trying to do or show me or work out of me, and I'm okay with that. And forget all the places that, all the things that God uses to bring those things towards us, but just the circumstance itself that we're in, to just find where God is trying to work in us a deeper work. Romans 8:36, it says, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for slaughter." Even if we're wronged or misunderstood, lied about, or whatever is before us, it may be even a terrible business situation, or you can put anything you want in there that we're facing, but whatever it is, let it be a time of God refining us. And there could have been much more spoke on that, as God works in us through, you know, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. And as I said there earlier, so often we can't get past that first one. You know, when these tribulations come, we can't rejoice. We can't recognize. And when I say rejoice, I don't know what all that looks like. But the last thing I think it looks like is us looking around and trying to pity ourselves and find other reasons why we're in the situation that we may be. But then it just goes on to say that if we can get past that, then tribulations, those things will work the patience and the patience experience and experience hope and so forth. But let us let God, when God starts to work in us in those ways, let us let Him have His way in it and us say, "Yes, God, you know, we want this, and what are You trying to show us?" That's all I would have. Lord, blessings on you all.